Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, the 4th of July, the Church celebrates the feast of Saint Elizabeth of Portugal. And these are today's headlines. Sudan's bishops appeal for peace as ongoing conflict leads to a grave humanitarian crisis. India's bishops offer condolences and prayers for victims of a stampede at a Hindu religious festival. And British voters head to the polls in parliamentary elections. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Sudan's bishops have come together to appeal for peace as the situation in the country continues to worsen and conflicts escalate. Despite a horrific humanitarian crisis, the Sudanese armed forces remain resolute in rejecting negotiations until they achieve victory. Francesca Barlow has this report.
The Catholic Bishops of Sudan and South Sudan, or SCBC, are pleading for an end to the horrific war tearing apart Sudan. The fabric of Sudanese society has been torn apart, with people shocked, traumatized, and disbelieving about the level of violence and hatred, said the bishops. Sadly, there appears to be no end in sight of the escalating conflict between the Sudanese Armed Forces, or SAF, and the Rapid Support Forces, RSF. In fact, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, head of the Sudanese Armed Forces, has resolutely closed the door to dialogue to end the civil war. "We are continuing in this battle until victory, and I repeat once again that we will not negotiate with an enemy who attacks us and occupies our lands," said General al-Burhan as he visited his troops in areas surrounding the capital Khartoum that his army has seized. The Sudanese capital has been the epicenter of fierce fighting between the SAF and the RSF for over a year. Al-Burhan has often reiterated his refusal to bow to international pressure and sit at a negotiation table in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. The humanitarian toll of the conflict is staggering. The RSF's new territorial sieges have forced at least 55,000 people to flee Sinjar, the capital of Sennar. And according to the United Nations, at least 10 million Sudanese have been displaced since the war began in April 2023, and they often find themselves trapped in areas that the two groups are fighting over. This includes approximately 80 people who have sought refuge in the Catholic mission of Dar Mariam in the Khartoumian district of Al-Shajara. Attempts to free them have been unsuccessful until now. The SCBC bishops denounced the selfish interests driving the conflict at the conclusion of their meeting in June. They said this is not simply a war between two generals, as the military has inextricably embedded itself in the economic life of the country. Both SAF and RSF have networks of wealthy elite Sudanese and international individuals and cartels who benefit from their control of various economic sectors and are linked to external sponsors who continue to provide them with increasingly sophisticated weapons such as drones. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The bishops of Ethiopia are in Rome for their periodic ad limina visit to the Holy See. Leading the delegation is the president of the Episcopal Conference of Ethiopia, Cardinal Berhanyesus Demaru Serafiel. The Archbishop of Addis Ababa spoke with Vatican News about the bishops' meeting with Pope Francis on June 28th. As well as the current situation in the Horn of Africa nation that has been ravaged by years of ethnic conflicts that are still ongoing. Lisa Zengarini tells us more.
During their conversation with Pope Francis, the Ethiopian bishops warmly thanked him for his relentless support and appeals for peace in Ethiopia and presented the current situation in the country, where a peace agreement has been reached for Tigray, but other armed conflicts are still open. Speaking to Vatican News' Michele Raviar, Cardinal Berhanyesus Serafiel explained that the bishops focused in particular on the situation of young Ethiopians, who make up 70% of the population and are increasingly tempted to migrate abroad due to war and lack of perspective in their country.
Dobbiamo fare qualcosa per aiutare la gente.
Migrants, whether from Africa or Syria, must be supported, the Archbishop of Addis Ababa emphasized, recalling that Pope Francis has been saying this since his visit to the Italian island of Lampedusa in 2013. He said Pope Francis encouraged the Ethiopian Church, a small minority of 2%, to continue its outreach efforts for the poor and the most vulnerable in Ethiopia, including children who cannot go to school, mothers who cannot go to hospital, and the elderly who have been displaced by war. The Pope reminded us that the bishop must always be with the people and insisted that fraternity and paternal presence are most important, he said. Regarding the ongoing armed conflicts in Ethiopia, Cardinal Suraphiel reiterated that the Catholic Church does not take any side, but is only on the side of the people who suffer and works for reconciliation. This is done not only at the level of the local church, but also with the support of the universal church, including that of many missionaries from across the world who work with us, he said. I am Lisa Zengarini.
India's Catholic bishops have expressed their condolences and prayers for victims of a stampede at a Hindu religious festival. At least 121 people died in Mughalgarhi village, southeast of New Delhi, on Tuesday, as a massive crowd was dispersing after the event. Devin Watkins has the story.
The Catholic Bishops' Conference of India has expressed deep sorrow over the deaths of 121 people following a stampede at a Hindu religious gathering on July 2nd. The tragedy unfolded at a rain-soaked field in Mughalgarhi village, southeast of New Delhi, where a popular Hindu preacher had delivered a sermon. We pray for the eternal repose of the departed souls and hope that the injured recover quickly, India's bishop said, stressing their spiritual closeness during these difficult times. It is India's most catastrophic stampede in over a decade. Police said over 250,000 people attended the event, significantly more than the 80,000 for whom the organizers had permission. The disaster struck as the crowd began to disperse. Media reports indicated that a combination of heat, severe overcrowding, and a sudden dust storm led to panic, causing people to rush towards a narrow exit. Further police investigation suggested the stampede began as followers tried to collect earth from the ground touched by the preacher. Some attendees reportedly fell into a roadside drain amidst the chaos, while others were blocked to facilitate the exit of the religious leader and his group first. The State Disaster Management Center confirmed the death toll and reported that almost all of the victims were women. Sheila Muraya, a police officer who was on duty at the event, described the moment that led to the disaster. Everyone, the entire crowd, including women and children, all left from the event site at once, she said. There wasn't enough space and everyone just fell on top of each other. In a nearby hospital's makeshift morgue, families searched for missing loved ones among the unidentified bodies. The tragedy underscored the ongoing safety issues at large religious gatherings in India, where inadequate crowd management and safety protocols have previously led to fatal incidents. In 2008, a similar stampede at a hilltop temple claimed 224 lives. I'm Devin Watkins.
Britons are voting today, Thursday, July 4th, in a parliamentary election that is expected to lead to a landslide victory for the opposition Labour Party led by Keir Starmer after 14 years of Conservative Party rule. Susie Hodges reports from London.
With opinion polls consistently predicting a sweeping victory for the centre-left Labour Party, the election campaign debate was never about who will win, but rather what will be the margin of victory. The latest projection by the independent YouGov pollsters put Labour on track to win a majority of 212 seats, the largest of any party in modern British history. Surveys suggest that many voters here simply want change after a period of infighting, turmoil and scandals under the Conservative Party that led to five prime ministers in 8 years. In a statement before polling began, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak warned voters that a Labour government would hike taxes and hamper economic recovery. Starmer told voters on Thursday that today Britain can build a new chapter, but change will only happen if people vote for Labour. Starmer's campaign has been built around the promise of change, tapping into widespread discontent at the cost of living crisis and the state of the nation's overstretched public services. Other key issues during the campaign included immigration and taxation. Labour's commanding lead in the run-up to this election points to a very different outcome compared to Britain's last general election in 2019, when Boris Johnson won a large victory for the Conservatives and Labour suffered its worst defeat in four decades. At the start of the election campaign, the president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, Cardinal Vincent Nicholls, issued a statement urging Catholics to be active rather than passive and to engage with politicians on the important issues. He said a key theme was how we can strive to create a society in which families can flourish. For Vatican Radio, I'm Susie Hodges reporting.
And staying in the UK, yesterday on Wednesday, the Vatican cricket team travelled to Windsor Castle, home to King Charles and various members of the royal family. There they faced off against the King's XI, a cricket team composed of members of the monarch's household. The match was the culmination of the Vatican side's Light of Faith UK tour, its 10th foreign trip since its foundation in 2014, which has also seen it face off against the England seniors team and St. Mary's University. Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch has been following the team throughout its UK tour. At yesterday's match, he spoke with Chris Trott, the British ambassador to the Holy See, about the significance of this clash between the Pope and the King's cricket teams.
I think there's a significance to it at a number of levels, because, I mean, obviously, even on paper, it is an international cricket match. It is a group of cricketers from the Vatican team who come from all over the Commonwealth, against a group of people who work for His Majesty the King here at Windsor. So, you could say it's England versus the Vatican. You could say it's the Commonwealth versus the King's XI. And so at that level, it has great resonance for me as an ambassador. At a sort of ecumenical level, it's been really beautiful being with the team for the last couple of days, because what we've been doing is we've been working with, talking to, visiting a range of the royal chapels, both in London and here in Windsor. And of course, we've been welcomed by Church of England Anglican clergy who are responsible for the chapels, but who've acknowledged the sort of the historical links with the Catholic Church. And we have celebrated the faith together. And I think that's lovely. So it's working both, and this works for the Vatican. It's working both at the level of the faith and at the level of the state.
And that was Ambassador Chris Trott, the British ambassador to the Holy See, speaking there with Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch. And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we do invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Once again, that's www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Once again, that's the Vatican News English section, Facebook, X, and Instagram accounts. Many thanks go to our producers and to our technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.